Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Yesterday, for those of you following the political calendar, yesterday was Super Tuesday, which makes today Wednesday. And the results are in. Joe Biden and Donald Trump dominated Super Tuesday. Now, for a rematch that everyone claims they don't want, it's awfully popular at the polls. It's like the whole nation is ordering takeout and deciding, okay, we're going to do the Thai place again. Even though the noodles stick together in a weird cube that's shaped like the box it comes in, as long as we all agree we're not getting the sweet and sour Nikki Haley. Now, it was also Tuesday in space! Because hundreds of miles above Earth, two astronauts cast their votes. Here are Jasmine Mokbeli and Laurel O'Hara pointing to their makeshift voting booths. And even though there are only two of them, it still took the old lady volunteer 15 minutes to find their names on the registration. Let's see here. I've got Orion, comma, Constellation. No, okay. Jar, comma, Jar Banks. No. It was a good night for Joe Biden, who rolled to big margin victories across the country. Well, that makes sense. For Biden, everything needs to be big margin and extra large font. Biden's biggest competitor wasn't actually a person. It was protest votes for uncommitted over his Israel policy. But there were also some people who finished behind Biden, none more so than Dean Phillips, seen here counting all of his supporter. Phillips is from Minnesota, but lost his home state to Biden in a landslide, then took to Twitter, congratulations to Joe Biden, uncommitted, Marianne Williamson, and Nikki Haley for demonstrating more appeal to Democratic Party loyalists than me. He then slammed his bedroom door, blasted My Chemical Romance, and said he wasn't even hungry for dinner, but could he have chicken fingers? Phillips later added another tweet, further moping, and Jason Palmer. Now, you may be asking, who is Jason Palmer? The answer is yes. No one knows who Jason Palmer is. What we do know is that President Biden lost the Democratic caucuses in American Samoa to Jason Palmer, a previously little-known long-shot challenger. Yes, previously little-known, also currently little-known. I myself just recently learned that a Jason Palmer is half Jason, half lemonade. Apparently. There you go. Why not? I'm not rushing anybody. I'm in no hurry to get home. Take all the time you want. Apparently, this Palmer person does exist because a quick Google image search reveals that he's one of these guys. Which one? This November, America decides. Whichever one he is, Palmer was able to get 56% of the vote in American Samoa, while Biden got 44%. Woohoo! Where my Palm Maniacs at? I mean, come on, it's electric. This guy makes Dean Phillips look like Ryan Binkley. And if you know who those people are, you're too invested in politics. Go see Dune or something. Now, before you get even remotely impressed by any of this, keep in mind, Palmer won the caucus by the middle school basketball score of 51-40. Not percent, votes. The Associated Press describes Palmer as a Baltimore resident who has worked for various businesses and nonprofits. What an inspiring biography. Reminds me of Obama's memoir, dreams of my various businesses and nonprofits. After, thank you. After his victory, Palmer admitted that he'd never even been to American Samoa, but that he's been campaigning remotely, doing Zoom town halls, which explains his campaign slogan, Palmer 2024. Hey, Phil, you're on mute. Phil, can someone unmute Phil? Palmer seems to have focused exclusively on American Samoa, courting voters with videos like this.
You're probably wondering, who is this Jason Palmer? I've never heard of him before. Well, in the mainland, I'm actually very well known.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's true, American Samoa. He is so well known on the mainland. Why, here in New York, or as we call it, Palmervania, tourists come from all over to take pictures with the Times Square Jason Palmers and see the world-famous Radio City Palmettes. What's this? I'm being told we have breaking news. 1 o'clock this afternoon, Dean Phillips ended his presidential campaign. Evidently, he wants to spend more time with his family, reminding them who he is. In his announcement, Phillips endorsed President Biden. Game, set, match. Yeah. It's over, baby. Biden is now adding the entire Dean Phillips coalition. It's a big tent. Sleeps two. There are even fewer surprises over on the Republican side, where Trump rolled to victory across the country. He did especially well in the few states where he isn't currently on trial. After the polls closed, Trump turned his attention to the general election, going after Joe Biden.
What's happened with inflation has been unbelievable. A lot of people say, a lot of experts have said, the stock market's the only thing that's doing well, and that's doing well because our poll numbers are so much higher than Joe Biden's.
Everything good is 'cause of me. Everything bad is 'cause of Joe. Stock market, me. Inflation, Joe. Taylor Swift, me. Cars for Kids song, Joe. The laughter of little children, that's me. That little Amazon fish that swims up your penis and shoots out spikes? Joe. And of course, he gave a shout out to all the cool people in attendance.
This is an incredible group of people. So many celebrities that I'm not going to introduce any because I'm just going to get myself in trouble if I do that because I'll leave out most of you.
He sounds like a high school kid pretending he's been kissed. Oh, wow, yeah, I've had so many girlfriends. I'm not going to name them all because I'm sure I'll forget someone. But, wow, I mean, girl lips. They're just like two hot dogs. So sexy and kind of slimy if you leave them in the water for too long. Trump was riding high, but there were some signs from voters that he won't have an easy ride in November. In North Carolina, even though Trump took the state, 1 in 4 Republican primary voters said they would feel dissatisfied if Trump got the nomination. Really? Just dissatisfied? We're talking about an existential threat to the Republic, not clicking the frowny face at the airport bathroom. How is the gulag, huh? Out of paper towels. Also, despite Trump's dominant polling, he didn't get a total sweep because Nikki Haley won Vermont. Yeah, Vermont, which means by law she gets her own Ben and Jerry's flavor. So keep an eye out for half-baked explanation of how slavery didn't cause the Civil War. But still, it wasn't enough, which is why this morning Nikki Haley dropped out of the 2024 presidential race. So long. America will never forget you. Ooh. I want to say Narky Stanley, Nibbly Snacky, Sticky Hale-bop. Now, notably, Haley did not endorse Trump, but the rest of the GOP establishment is falling in line. In fact, this morning, Mitch McConnell endorsed Trump. Ooh. That headline again, Tortoise endorses hair. Nice. Nice family joke. It's a family joke. Wake up the kids. Tell them that joke. This is a final cynical act of evil and cowardice from a man who has made a cynical career of it. McConnell has already stepped down from leadership, and his parting gesture is to hand his shriveled blue ball sack to the man who launched racist attacks on his wife, called him a dumb son of a bitch, and a broken-down crow.
That's right. That's right, Mr. President. It's me, Mitch, your dumb little broken-down crow.
How long was I out? How long was I out? What year is it? Now that the race is set, the country is looking ahead to November, and there are some disturbing numbers out there. For instance, this weekend, the New York Times published a poll that showed Trump leading Biden by 5% among registered voters. Okay, now I'm less worried about the candidates and more worried about the mental competence of the voters. Someone should give us a cognitive test. But don't panic. Because the methodology is so off, it led one member of the pundocracy to observe, there is something wrong at the New York Times. Yeah, there is something wrong at the New York Times, and it's called connections. Let me get this straight. Turncoat and windsock are words ending in clothing, but lawsuit isn't? My streak should be at 25, and you will be hearing from my lawyers, you bastards. But another thing. That New York Times poll is a mess. It found Trump winning the female vote by 1% when Biden carried women in 2020 by 11 points. Somehow, I doubt Trump has won back over 12% of women with his empowering message, I'm a rapist. The poll is so off that it says 12% of Democrats support Dean Phillips, leading Dean Phillips to actually tweet, when a New York Times Siena poll shows me at 12%, you better believe it's flawed. Only 5% even know who I am. That is so sad. He thinks 5% of people know who he is. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into, for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Tonight, as the New York Times best-selling author of books like Astrophysics for People in a Hurry and Starry Messenger, please welcome back to The Late Show America's favorite astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Good to see you. It's like coming home. Everybody loves you here, Neil Tyson.
I'm feeling it.
You are the New York Times best-selling author of the book Starry Messenger, right there, now available in paperback. And we'll get to this in just a moment
here. Sure, thank you.
But let's push some paper first. Okay, so you're not just a beloved astrophysicist and a best-selling author. You're also a movie buff.
Yeah.
We were at the same U.S. premiere of Dune 2 last week, or a week and a half ago, something like that. What did you think, Neil Tyson?
It's quite the spectacle.
Oh, my gosh.
I would say It's perfect. What do you think, Neil? There are no errors. Go
no,
on,
I have
Neil.
Some issues.
You don't generally criticize science
no,
fiction
it's
films,
a couple
do
of
you?
Issues. So I don't if people know, this movie takes place in sand dunes, yeah. and there's a worm that's very
there's
hungry.
An example. These are an example of these big worms that
yeah,
come
yeah.
plowing
they're very
across
hungry,
the desert. Yeah.
And they just plow through the sand.
Yeah.
And they'll find you if you make a sound that repeats.
Right. So to call one of them, you put up one of these things called a thumper.
A thumper. Right.
Right.
It
sends
so you put
vibrations
that in the sand, and it sends
yeah.
vibrations. And then it finds yeah. it, and whatever's there is going to eat it.
Right.
But
it comes out fast,
somebody
too.
Didn't do the research on that. Because...
Because that's not how these sandworms actually behave? Not, is that what you're saying,
you
Neil Tyson?
I'm just saying, you can't thump sand.
Yes, you can.
Have
you ever heard the phrase, go pound sand?
If you do this to sand, nobody else is going to hear it because it's sand, right?
You can't hear it, but a sandworm can. They hear things differently than we do, Neil Tyson.
It's sand. If you wanted to insulate yourself acoustically from a surroundings, fill the volume with sand. No one will hear you. So I got to let it go because there's no movie without it. But I got one other thing.
Well, you got another
there's
thing?
There's a point where...
You got another thing?
Where the people...
Don't hold my hand while you criticize a perfect movie. No, how dare you? That is unwelcome, Kai. No. How dare you, sir?
So, no, the sand people, the Fremen...
The Fremen,
the indigenous sand people...
Exactly.
One of their rites of passage is, like, they have to ride the back of the worm.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's a worm.
Yeah.
And so... They have the worm just going straight, fast.
Yeah.
No, that's
like
not how physics
that's how
works.
Sandworms work.
No. But have you ever seen a snake chase you as a straight snake? No. No. They've got a curl, and they push off the curl.
But they have
that's
a
what the curling
foot.
Is.
Perhaps it has scales, flexible scales. Perhaps on the belly of the worm.
You think it's got little things
or,
like that?
Or perhaps there's some sort of reverse peristaltic thing where there's sort of a wave-like action that's happening down there where we can't see it.
Or they're pooping really fast to send them forward. Okay.
I'm just saying we don't know all the science isn't in on sandworms, Neil. Why are you jumping to conclusions?
But it was cool, and they had the little, what do you call it? The copters, the...
The ornithopters.
Yeah, they're like dragonflies.
They look like dragonflies.
Yeah, they're like dragonflies.
Yeah.
Very
They're so well done that I had to remind myself that they're not real.
No, they're very well done, yes, but they had other huge objects defying gravity. So why did these have to have wings? Just put that stuff in their copter and they don't need wings at all.
Probably the energy source required for the large things could carry a large energy source on board, whereas the copters have to go with a small fuel cell and cannot actually expend the energy necessary for the anti-grav propulsion. Checkmate.
So,
I accept your apology.
All in on that one, on the Dune thing.
I'm 1,000% in. Yeah. Okay. Can you still enjoy a movie with the scientific inaccuracies in it?
Here's, I'm a fan of Mark Twain's edict. First get your facts straight, then distort them at your leisure.
Oh, sure.
Because if you're ignoring basic, fundamental scientific principles on the premise that that's too constraining, I need my freedoms, excuse me, the universe is not only weirder than we have imagined, it may be weirder than we can ever imagine. It's my people that brought you wormholes and antimatter and black holes and the multiverse. All of that comes out of my people. And so you're
sorry, the multiverse was coined by the fantasy writer Michael Moorcock. Just wanted you to know. He coined it. An artist, not a scientist, coined
what
the term multiverse. Early 60s.
That feels kind of late for my people. But we'll send out the...
All right, we will. Okay, you want to hear things weirder in the universe than you could possibly imagine?
Yeah.
Here's you in an outfit.
Oh.
You've made some cameos in movies over the years. You made one recently. This is it right here. How did you end up, am I reading this right, in the new J-Lo movie, This Is Me Now, A Love Story? And what the hell are you doing in this outfit?
No.
That's fine.
No, so I got a call, and they said, would I play Taurus in
J-Lo's... The astrological sign Taurus?
Well, it's a constellation, but... in that movie, it's an astrological sign.
Okay.
And sure. I said, show me the script. And I looked at the script. And I said, I can make some adjustments to get a little bit of science into
right.
this.
Because you're America's most famous astrologer, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying, I have a very low bar when it comes to artists seeking my advice, wisdom, participation.
Yes.
All I'm saying is if I'm not in the movie, then there's no science in the movie.
So do you actually put some science into
yes.
astrology?
No, I tried to help that out a little bit. Yeah.
Does your character say, this is all bullshit?
No, there was a scene that they didn't make it into the final cut.
Oh.
Where I made it clear that the Zodiac has 13 constellations, not 12.
What?
Yes.
What?
One of them is called...
Are we breaking news right now? What's going on?
One of them is called Ophiuchus. And in Scorpio, if you think you're a Scorpio, you're probably an Ophiuchan because the sun spends more time in Ophiuchus than it does in Scorpio. And by the way, since 2,000 years ago when that got laid out, all the constellations have shifted by a month
what?
Because Earth is precessing on its axis, and it changes the correspondence so that most Scorpios are actually Ophiuchans, and all Ophiuchans and Scorpions are currently Librans.
Wow. That is science
Deal
right
with
there.
It. Deal with it.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go away. We'll be right back with more Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a superfan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back. We're back with the star. We're back with the author. He's the star of everything he's in, but he's the author of Starry Messenger, Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's a total solar eclipse coming up on April 8th.
Yes,
is that what it
April,
is?
April 8th, this year.
Okay. Going across the United States.
Yeah, it's America's eclipse.
Now, my understanding is that this one's going to be a little bit longer of a total eclipse because the moon's a little bit closer to us than
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, because sometimes the moon is closer or far. Sometimes we are closer or far from the sun.
Yeah.
And you get the various combinations of that dictate how long it takes the moon to pass in front of the sun. And for this one, at peak, it'll be about 4.5 minutes.
That's quality.
That's not too bad.
That's quality. Okay.
Yes.
The new book is, it's not a new book,
just
it's an old
paperback.
Book.
Yes.
It's in paperback. That's what's new about it. Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization. You say a cosmic perspective can help ease the political divide in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
How so, my friend?
Well, so all the things we argue about over holiday meals, you know, mm-hmm. when your weird aunts and uncles come by and everybody fights,
sure. right.
okay? Especially Thanksgiving.
Right.
So much of what we describe as the tropes of your opponent dissolve away on analysis. So you can't start this from either of those positions. You got to step above a cosmic perspective, looking above. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, well, what's one trope? One would be liberals like heaping upon conservatives that they're anti-science, mm-hmm. okay? That's true, but sitting squarely in the liberal communities are people who are into feather energy and crystal healing and homeopathic medicines.
Right.
They're into things that some or all of mainstream science completely reject.
Oh, for instance, on the far end of the left and the far end of the right, you get anti-vax meeting each other.
Anti-vax meet on the,
yeah.
right? So the liberal left cannot claim the science high ground in that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, you don't like science and we do. No, that's not how that works. And not only that, if you're if you're conservative, right, you say tax, the liberals are taxing and we hate taxes. And then meanwhile, rank states by who receives the most tax money relative to what they pay. It's red states, states that voted red in 2020. So if you drop taxes, they will get hurt the most by this. This is an analysis. You don't need to be an astrophysicist see this. Have to, like, think data and analyze it. This is, okay?
Neil.
I'm gonna come down.
Neil. You know, Yuval Noah Harari was on the show last night, who wrote Sapiens.
Yes.
And he said...
Brilliant guy. Had him on my podcast.
Brilliant guy. Yeah. So I had him on my show. And... not a contest.
I had him first.
I understand. What he was saying is that the decisions that we make, often the political decisions we make, are not based upon facts. They're based upon stories that we tell ourselves and others. So what story can science tell us? Because often it's an emotional thing that motivates us politically. What story can science tell us that will bring us together? Because facts aren't stories.
So in the universe, when we're trying to understand stars, galaxies, the temperatures, pressures, everything happens on a continuum. Mm-hmm. So what we need vocabulary and a mindset to recognize that. Whereas humans have this urge to put you in a box. Are you with me? Are you against me? Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Is it high or is it low? Are you black or are you white? And anybody who's looked at the actual world will recognize that all of those features come on a spectrum. They're on a spectrum. And if they're on a spectrum, but you're forcing everybody into categories, that makes it easy for you to tribalize. But if instead you see everybody on a spectrum, you can't tribalize that because you can't put an easy divider. You have to recognize a continuum connects me to that person. And if once you realize that, I think you're more prone to have a conversation. We live in a world... thanks for that guitar chord. We live in a... We live in a world where if you post an opinion, people attack the opinion. And I'm thinking, I don't remember that. In my day, you posted, you have an opinion. It's, oh, that's your opinion? Here's my opinion. You talk about it, then you go have a beer. That's not what happens today. You post an opinion, it gets attacked by people who are angry that your opinion is not identical to theirs. And I'm thinking to myself, if they get their way, what kind of country does this become? If everyone has exactly the same opinion. That's not the country I grew up with. I don't think that's what our founding fathers had in mind. For e pluribus unum, for the many, we have one. And so I'm worried about this. But cosmically, we don't simply put things into small categories. Once we recognize the spectrum, it's like, yeah, we are one and the same. And I can't, no other way I can parse that.
You parsed it perfectly, Neil. As always. Starry Messenger is available now in paperback. Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.